Well, welcome to the Vine TV. I'm so thankful that you have made space once again to connect with us this week. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you, my name is Tyler West, and I get to serve as the lead pastor and founder of the Vine Church here in Spartanburg, South Carolina. If there's any way that I can pray for you or specifically serve you, you can reach out to me at 864-706-9634, or you can shoot me an email at tyler.west@thevine.tv. And if it's your first time getting to hang out with us, we're giving you a virtual hello and saying welcome. You can give us one as well. Shoot us a high five or a wave in the comments. But more importantly, we want to get some information in your hands. If there's any way that we can pray for you, get you any information about the Vine Church, or hey, maybe you just need a Bible reading plan, please reach out to us at hello@thevine.tv. As we're going through this season of physical distancing, if you will, soon enough, we are going to be physically in the same location sooner than later. And I want you to know, if it's your first time with us, we would love to invite you to the garden. And it's a space created specifically for you where we can see you face to face, answer your questions, pray with you, get information in your hands. But more importantly, the reason we want that information in your hands is so that you can know, no matter what you're walking through in this season, you are not walking through it alone. So reach out to us at hello@thevine.tv if we can serve you in any way. Speaking of not walking through this season alone, guys, we have created multiple opportunities throughout the week for all of us to connect through our Facebook Live devotionals. Now, you can see past devotionals, or you can plan to be a part of one this week. And I want to show you where you can do that. If you go to our Vine Facebook page at facebook.com/thevinetvsc, we would love to connect with you. You can also connect with us after those devotionals. We'll have a Zoom meeting room available for prayer after that. So we would love to connect with you. So go ahead, go to our Vine Facebook page, make plans to be part of our Facebook events there and see about our Facebook Live devotionals. We have worships that happen throughout the week. So we would love to see you and connect with you at our Facebook page today. And last but not least, I just want to say thank you to all of our sowers here at the Vine Church who are unafraid to live out believing you can outgive God. You know, in this season that we live in, a lot of folks are strained financially, and many folks, because they are, they probably feel shunned by the church. But I want to tell you here at the Vine Church, it's never about a percentage. It's never about a number. As a matter of fact, we want to welcome you in no matter what you give in a tithe, because it's not about your tithe at the Vine Church. It's about your heart. We want you to see that Jesus is after your whole heart. So you will never hear us stand up here and talk to you about a specific number to give, about a percentage to give. We're just going to ask you to seek Jesus and ask what he would have you give. And we would ask you, if you would like to do that, to partner with us to bring the gospel around the world. Since our launch here at the Vine Church, we've seen over $93,000 go to global missions to build the kingdom. And Jesus has allowed us to be a part of opportunities that we won't even get to celebrate this side of eternity. So if Jesus is asking you to give today, and he is asking you to be a part of living out you can't outgive God, you can join us in doing that today by going to thevine.tv/give and giving your amount of any kind there. Also, when we get to gather together physically again, you'll be able to do that in our tithe box, and we would love to celebrate that with you. I'm getting ready to pray, and we're going to have a worship song from Vine Worship. We're going to get on with the message and have an awesome day. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this day and for this opportunity to lift your name high. Thank you so much that we get to live in an age of technology where we can connect. Even if we're physically distanced, Jesus, we can connect through technology. But you gave us something so much more than technology. You gave us the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, those of us that are in you today, that are filled with the Holy Spirit, I pray that we would be connected and unified today, and that we would see you in a fresh new way. And Jesus, I pray that no matter what we brought in here in this season and in this day today, I pray that we would leave here better than how we walked in. But no matter what, Jesus, we pray that your name would be glorified, because we know that you are who you say you are. And we know that you are working together all things for your glory and our good. We love you, King Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now let's go ahead and get ready for some worship with Vine Worship.
Hold you to one who breaks my fall and lifts me time and time again. Oh my God, so good, you never give up, you never give up on me. Oh, what joy I found because of your love for me. Oh my God, so good.
so thankful that we get to continue into our series today called He Still Got the Whole World in His Hands. Because uncertainty is nothing new in this world. In the times that we are living in, uncertainty is rearing its ugly head like never before. But the one thing that remains certain, the one thing that remains true, is that God is still in control. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want you to know, no matter what you're walking through or the season that you're in, God is still in control because He's still got the whole world in His hands. Now, we kick off every message each week with a little game, whether we're virtually connecting or physically connecting in the same room. And so today, maybe it's your first time hanging out with us, I would love to invite you to play along. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask everyone watching to give a virtual high five or a virtual fist bump. Now, when you see a high five, I want you to reply back to that comment with a virtual high five of your own. When you see a fist bump, I'm going to ask you to reply back to that fist bump with a virtual fist bump of your own. And I would love for each and every one of us to connect with at least one person today with a virtual high five or a virtual fist bump. So you know how to play the game. So here we go. One, two, three. Let's give those high fives. Let's give those fist bumps. Give those virtual fist bumps. Come on, let's connect together, y'all. Let's have some fun to kick this off today. Let's be giving those high fives. Let's be giving those fist bumps. Isn't it fun to even connect even virtually? And I want you to know, soon enough, we're going to be back in the same room sooner than later. We're going to be giving some real high fives and some real fist bumps. So I can't wait for that. So now that we know where we're going today, I want you to know that today we're going to be continuing to dive into our series as we talk about God the whole world. God the whole world. Now, each and every one of us just connected together, but now I want us to get to know each other a little better. So I've got four questions for us to do that today, and I hope that you play along. And here's how you can do that. I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to ask you to reply to the question in the comments. Now, I believe that all of us can make 100 on this quiz, okay? So here we go. First question. When you're driving and you come to a green light, what do you do? Not a trick question. Reply in the comments. What do you do? When you come to a green light, what do you do? Do you mash the gas? Do you mash the brake? It's the obvious answer. You go, right? Whatever that looks like, when you come to a green light, you go. Okay. So we got that one. I believe many of us are 100 on the test so far. Here we go. Number two. When you come to a red light when you're driving, what do you do? Mash the gas, apply the brakes, hit the horn. The obvious answer, you stop, right? You stop. When you come to a red light, you stop, right? That's what you do. When you're at a green light, you go. When you're at a red light, you stop. Now here we go. Here's where the real, real fun's about to begin. When you are driving and you come to the yellow light, what do you do? When you come to a yellow light, what do you do? Do you go? Do you stop? Do you play that Ricky Bobby and say, if you're not first, you're last? No, you don't apply a certain finger in the air to the people that are around you. Not, it's a church, man. Come on. Like, not that. What do you do? Do you go or do you stop when you come to the yellow light? Last but not least, here we go. Now, some folks are going to get this one and some folks aren't, but it's okay. It'll make sense here in a second. All right. So when you come to a red light, when you come to a red light, green light, yellow light, whatever it is, and normally it's hanging vertically, but it's hanging horizontally, what do you do when one of the shades of gray changes colors and all you see is that? Little joke for the red, green, colorblind people. You get it. That's why we should never hang the red lights. Never hang them horizontally, but vertically, because it's a shade of gray. Who knows? It is what it is. But I'm just saying, for each and every one of us, I think we got to know each other a little bit better. But the reason I want to talk about that today is because our view of authority will determine how we live our life. Many of us, if we believe authority over our life is oppressive and stops us from everything, when we come to that yellow light, we'll probably gun it through it because I'm going to show that person, right? Or many of us, when we come to that yellow light, if we believe that authority placed over us has given us the freedom to take a next step to be all that we were created to be, man, we'll go through that yellow light and we'll trust that we're going to make it through. See how we view authority so many times in our life, and the authority that's placed over our life will determine the next steps that we will take and will determine the belief whether we believe that God really is in control. Now, a caveat would be to any of those questions, what would you do if a police officer was in the next lane? Completely probably changes your answers because he has the authority to do what? Pull you over and ticket you if you break the law. So today, that's kind of what I want to talk about. But before I do that, thank you to all of our first responders. Thank you to all of our medical personnel on the front lines. Thank you to all of our truck drivers. Thank you to all of our retail workers. Thank you for all the folks that are on furlough right now as we are coming out of this, hopefully, shutdown and going into phases. Thank you to each and every one of you. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And I know that no matter what, he is going to work it out for his glory and for each of our goods. So today, as we continue to dive into this series, I want us to talk about this word called authority. Authority. Now, the definition of authority is this: the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. The power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. Many of us have a different view of authority, and many of us can say this, and many of us would say that we fight authority. We fight the law, but the law won, right? Like, we can say we fight the authority, or many of us follow our rule followers and go right in line with authority. But no matter what, I want us to see something today, because many of us, I believe, are in a yellow light season of our life. We're in a caution flag if you're a NASCAR fan, and we're trying to figure out if they're going to give us the green flag or they're going to red flag us on the backstretch. If you know, you know. Who's ready for that to kick up again? Seriously. If you know, you know. Many of us are in this yellow light season, and the way that we talk about this season and the way that we live this season that we're in is the way that we answer this question. And it's this: who has authority over your life? Who has authority over your life? Now, today we're going to be biblically walking through authority in our life and over our life. Your version of the Bible may say dominion, but we're going to focus on the word authority as we go through the NIV version. Hey, maybe you don't have a Bible. We would love, love, love to send you one free for the asking and help you learn how to read it. If you're watching us online right now, our amazing Vine production team will have all of the scripture right here on the bottom of the screen so that you can follow along with us. But today I want to tell you, maybe you like to do things digitally, and I want you to know how you can follow along with us in the Word of God digitally today through the Bible app. So I want to show you how to do that right now. If you want to download the Bible app, once you download the Bible app, you want to open it up. Once you open it up, click on the More tab. Now, once you click on the More tab, you want to click on Events. Now, once you click on the Events tab, make sure your location services are on. And once you do that, you're going to see the Vine TV worship experience. You're going to see the title of today's message. You're going to see a place where you can take personal notes as you follow along with us, all the scripture we're going to walk through, but also a place for you to connect with us throughout the week. So if you've got your Bible today, I want to tell you today is going to be a lot different than normal. So if you've got your Bible, let's go to John 14, and then we're going to land in Daniel 7 as we talk about this thing called authority in our life. And I want you to know, if you've been around for a while, or maybe it's your first time with us, normally I have a three-point sermon. Today I won't. Today I won't have a three-point message, because I believe as we learn about authority and we answer the question, who has authority over your life, I'm just going to let the Word of God show us who has authority over our life. So before we get to John 14, I want to start in a couple of different places and talk about this thing called authority in our life. So to build up to it, I want you to go... we're going to go to Genesis 1, 28 before we get to John 14, okay? Now, if you remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was void and formless, and his spirit hovered over the land, right? So when that happened, on the sixth day, God did what? He created man, right? He created man, right? And when he did, and he created man and wife, Genesis 1, 28 shows us what God said to them. And it says this: God blessed them, that is Adam and Eve, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. rule over. So in other words, God is giving authority to Adam and Eve, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So what ends up happening is God gives authority to Adam and Eve to rule over the fish of the sea, to rule over the earth. But what happens in Genesis 3, if you've been at church or you've never heard this before, that's awesome. I'm so thankful that you're here. But a couple chapters later in Genesis 3, what ends up happening is the authority that God gives Adam and Eve, he says, you can have this authority if you obey my commands. And his command was this, to eat of everything in the Garden of Eden but two trees. And so Adam and Eve eat of one of the two trees they shouldn't eat from. And when they did that, they surrendered authority of their life from God and gave it to Satan, the deceiver. And because of that, all of us live under the authority of sin before we've given our life to Christ Jesus. Now you may say, well, how did Satan get authority and how did Adam and Eve give authority? Well, I want to show you where we can see how Satan was given that authority. If you can see in the New Testament, if you remember when Jesus launched his earthly ministry, he went into the wilderness for 40 days. And now when he came out of the wilderness after 40 days, remember, Satan tempted him three times. And if you remember how the story goes, Satan first goes to Jesus and says, take these stones and turn them into bread because I know you got to be hungry. Jesus replies back, man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, the second thing Jesus does, and this is where we're going to see this authority show up, is Satan takes Jesus to the top of the highest mountain of the world, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the earth. All the kingdoms of the earth. And this is where we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, and it says this. And he, Satan, said to Jesus, I will give you all their what? Authority and splendor. It has been given to me. And I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. There's that word authority popping up again. And Satan saying, I will give you the authority if you'll just worship me. Now, we know Satan tempts him one more time and tells Jesus to throw himself off the Temple Mount and angels would rescue him. But Jesus said, don't tempt the Lord your God. Now, the thing about this word authority is when we see Jesus, what happens is, remember, he goes to the cross. He dies for our sins, pays a penalty for our sins on the cross. And then he goes to the tomb. And he loves us enough, he doesn't stay dead. On the third day, he rose again and left an empty tomb so that we can have life and have it to the full. But one of the last times we see Jesus is in Matthew 28. And if you're a Christian, you know this more than likely by heart. And it's this thing called the Great Commission. And this word authority pops up again. And I want to show it to you. Matthew 28, verse 18 says this. Then Jesus came to them and said, all what? Authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So wait a second. So Adam and Eve gave authority of their life over to Satan. Satan holds that authority until Jesus has risen again. And Jesus says, now that I have that authority, I'm giving to you. And remember how the rest of the Great Commission goes. On verse 19, it would say, therefore, go into all nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age, right? So like, Jesus has this authority, this restored authority, and he gives it back to us. And you see, that's what I want us to see as we unpack this question, who has authority over our life? Because it's either one of two things. It's either going to be Satan or it's going to be Jesus. And I want to show you today through the resurrection where we can see how this authority was restored to us in Christ Jesus. So if you've got your Bible today, I want to show you how we got here. Let's get to John 14, and we're going to start in a familiar verse. Many of us may know this by heart, but we're going to go John 14, verse 1 through 4, and it says this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I not have told you I'm going there to prepare a place for you? It's a big, big house with lots and lots of rooms. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. A big, big yard where we can play football. No, Every summer camp youth kid knows exactly what I'm talking about. And before you turn it off, don't worry. I'm not singing the rest of the message, but you know what I'm talking about. It's my Father's house. Remember that song. We got to have a little fun. We got to have a little fun because I know the air is thick right now, but it's going to make sense. Hang in here with me. We're going to walk through some scripture and we're going to tie it all together at the end. This is truly a tie it together in a bow at the end message. So hang in here with me. We're going to learn more about authority right here. Now pay attention to this. Verse 2, he says, I'm going there. Mark that in your Bible. We'll come back to that later. And if I go to prepare a place for you, mark this down. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Jesus is about to go to the cross, and he's telling the disciples this, and he's saying, listen. Before you can have this authority restored to you, I have to go take care of something first. And before I go to my Father to have this authority restored back to you so that you can be in a right relationship with him and be in the same house as him, I got to go take care of something. And that is the cross. And he is saying, before I do that, you can't truly live in the authority that God gave in the garden. So here we go. Now, you know, John 15 is one of my favorite chapters. So we're going to flip past that. Let's get to John 16, and Jesus is about to go to the cross here, okay? He's about to go to the cross. It's one of the last times he's with the disciples. And let's pick up in verse 16, and once again, learn what this thing that he's talking about he's going to the Father and building these rooms and what's going on. So here we go. Verse 16, Jesus went on to say, in a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. At this, some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while, you will see me no more? And after a little while, you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father. Now remember, John 14, because I'm going to the Father. Remember, he said that there. They kept asking. They kept saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Parents, you know this. Mama, 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 daddy, 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 mama, mama, mama. You know this if you're parents. This is where Jesus is right now. You want to talk about patience? Praise Jesus that he's patient with me. But look how patient he was with the disciples here. They kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more? And then after a little while you will see me? Very truly, I tell you, now pay attention to this, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Now, time out. Growing up, many times I was taught this was about the second coming. But believe it or not, it's not about the second coming. It's about the resurrection and what happens after the resurrection, because we aren't going to be mourning at the second coming. As a matter of fact, we're going to have joy at the second coming. And the reason that I know that is, remember in Romans, it reminds us that every knee will bow down and every tongue will confess. That can be found in Isaiah as well, that Christ is Lord. And when the second coming comes, we're not going to be surprised who Jesus is. We're going to know who Jesus is. And so when it says your weeping will be turned to joy, he's actually talking about when he goes to the Christ and they are mourning, when it goes to the cross, excuse me, and they are mourning Christ's death. And then they're about to see him after the resurrection, and it's going to be turned to joy. And Jesus compares it to this. He says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Friends, this is the resurrection. Jesus is saying that no matter what season we're in, no one will take away our joy when we celebrate and live in the resurrection. So many times we only talk about it on Easter Sunday. And I'm telling you, if you're in Christ Jesus, it's Easter every day. So today, that's what we're going to be talking about even more as we unpack who has authority over our life. Because if you follow this at all, you know how John goes, what ends up happening is in John 16, Jesus tells this to the disciples. In John 17, he's in the garden praying for unity. In John 18, Jesus is arrested and goes before Pilate. In John 19, Jesus is sentenced to death and goes to the cross. In John 20 is when we arrive at the tomb. We talked about this a couple weeks ago at Easter, but we arrive at the tomb. And I want to pick up in John 20, flip a couple pages over, John 20, John chapter 20 and verse 11, as we continue to talk about authority. Now, remember what Jesus said they would do, that something would happen. Verse 11, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and she what? She wept. Now remember, he said, your mourning will be turned into something. She bent over to look in the tomb and saw two angels in white seated there where Jesus' body had been. One at the head and another at the foot. Just an FYI, if you ever want to study what this is actually the Ark of the Covenant. This is symbolizing the Ark of the Covenant. The cherub at the head and the foot of the Ark and the angel's wings touching together. Can't unpack that right now, but it's so important to see the symbolism here and to see how Jesus just came and fulfilled every prophecy, fulfilled every piece of the law that he came to be, how he is our ark, he is our access to God, he is our high priest, how he is allowing us to be in relationship with the Father. I'm going to stop. We're going to keep going. Verse 13, they ask her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned and saw Jesus standing there. Pay attention to this. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. Now, hang on. We're going to see even more here. Now, remember, Mary is the one that is her brother Lazarus was risen from the dead. Mary is the one that was with Jesus from the very beginning of his earthly ministry, practically from the beginning. Right after he's tempted, she's one of the first people he runs into, and she follows with him with the women who were followers of Christ Jesus. So Mary of anyone should know who Jesus is. As a matter of fact, she's the one who helped put his dead body in that tomb and put spices and perfume on it. So she should know who Jesus is, yet she didn't realize it was him. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. This time of year, many of us are putting out gardens outside. And when I looked at this and I started thinking about a gardener and I started thinking about what a gardener would look like, one of the main things about a gardener is they usually have soil and dirt on them. I just want to ask you this question, and you can ask Jesus to help you unpack this. I wonder if Jesus looked like a gardener because he was covered of the dirt of our sins at this time, and so Mary couldn't recognize him. Because see, he's about to do something that maybe you've never seen before because he showed it to me in this, and I can't wait to share it with you. Maybe there's a little something more going on with Jesus on this day than we've paid attention to, and it will help us answer the question, who has authority over our life? Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried in Aramaic, Rabbani, which means teacher. All of a sudden, Jesus reveals who he is. He looks different. Now he looks like himself, and he says her name, and now all of a sudden, she knows who he is. Pay attention to this. Jesus says in verse 17, do not hold on to me. In other words, he's physically distanced. He's saying, don't touch me. Don't touch me. For I have not yet, pay attention to this, ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. This should bring you joy right now. To my God and your God. Jesus goes from saying, I'm doing the will of my Father and you will be able to see him. Now he's saying, my Father and your Father. In other words, you're about to have access to be in a right relationship, to walk into under the authority that was given to all of us at the Garden of Eden. If we just trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he's saying it's about time that no matter what you're walking through, that God is still in control. I want you to see that right now, no matter what is happening, that God is our God when we are in Christ Jesus, and he is our Father as well. See, this is so important for each and every one of us because we can now fully be included in the house that Jesus was building with his fathers, with his Father, excuse me. But you see, something pointed just stuck out to me that I had actually never seen before. And if you go down to verse 19, it'll show what it is. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. You see what's so important for that and why that's so important for each and every one of us is it was on the same day. Now, if you ever looked in Matthew 27, verse 52 and 53, talks about what happened on that day. You see, what we know is if Jesus descended, and it talks about how Jesus descended and set the Old Testament saints free. Matthew 27 specifically talks about how when the graves of the Old Testament saints were opened and they walked among Jerusalem. See, what happened during this thing and what's happening right now is Jesus is going to his Father for something. And he says on the way, listen, Old Testament saints, hey, Moses, hey, Noah, hey, I want you to know, hey, Elisha, because Elijah already went up, hey, Methuselah, I want you to know right now, the Old Testament saints, I want you to know, I've got a pit stop to make on my way to my Father, and I'm going to talk to Mary, because I know if I want to get anything done, I got to talk to Mary about it, because those knuckleheads I've been with these past, they just haven't been getting it over 3 years, but Mary understands it, and Mary gets it. So I need to make a pit stop and talk to her, and while I do that, you can go to Jerusalem, you can kick the old places you were in Jerusalem, see how it's changed, go to where the temple is, but whatever you do, know that on the way to the Father, I've got to make a pit stop. Now hang in here with me. Before you get real frustrated with me in there, hang in here with me. Because it said, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Now remember what Jesus said. Their weeping would be turned to something. Their weeping would be turned to what? To joy, remember? The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, he said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. You see, this is why it's so important, because if you know, Thomas asked him a few verses down the line there, actually a few days later, Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see your hands in your side. And so instead of Jesus now saying, no longer saying, don't touch me, you see, the disciples didn't struggle with seeing Jesus being Jesus. He looks a little different. Now, that happened in the same day. So what happens is Mary doesn't recognize him at the empty tomb. He looks like the gardener. He speaks her name and she knows who he is. By that evening, the disciples recognize Jesus is who he says he is. So what changed? What changed? Because we know that on the cross, that Jesus became our eternal redemption, that he sets those Old Testament saints free, and that something happened, because something ends up happening that day. What ends up happening? Because remember, Jesus said he was going to do something in John 14. Hang in here with me. He said, I'm going to where? My Father. I'm going to my Father. And when I go to my Father, then I will come back to you. And then I will send you. So he is saying right now, in that time frame, that morning he ran into Mary. Mary didn't know who he was until he spoke her name. And then he ascends to heaven. And something happens with the authority that God gave us in the Garden of Eden that we gave away to Satan to sit under the authority of sin. Something happened on that day. Something happened from that sun up to sundown. I wish there was somewhere in the Bible that showed us where that took place. I wish there was a transcript. I wish there was just something that pointed us to what happened on that day. There is. If you've got your Bible, let's get to Daniel 7. And I want to show you the conversation that took place that day when Jesus ascended to the Father. Daniel chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 9, and it says this. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. The Ancient of Days is God, the creator of the universe, God the Father. His clothing was as white as snow, and the hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and his wheels were ablaze. A river of fire was flowing through, coming out before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. That's a million if you're taking notes. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That's 100 million if you're taking notes. The what? Court was seated and the books were open. Now we talked about this and you asked for it and answered the question, what happens after you die? And we've dove into this a lot. The books that were open are the book of life and the book of works. If you are in Christ Jesus, you'll go to the judgment day and be judged by the book of life, and how you live your life will be how you get your reward if you've received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you have not, you're going to be going through the book of works and you're going to be going to the great white throne judgment. And that'll be for those who are unbelievers. So before we get into that, what is happening, if I want you to get a mental picture, what's happening is the judge has come and he is seated and court is in session. Court is in session. Daniel goes on in verse 11. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words of the horn speaking. That is Satan. I kept looking until the beast was slain and his body was destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beast had been stripped of their what? authority, but we're allowed to live for a period of time. My friends, what I want you to see right here is the beast that was slain that day is the beast that was sin, and it was thrown into the fire. And we have to understand that in Christ Jesus, we don't have to sit under the authority of sin anymore. We can sit under his authority, and we're going to see right now the beast that was slain was that. We see the other beast, that is the Antichrist, was given a time to live for a period of time. My friends, that is after. That is when the trial and tribulation comes, and that is before it is all over. So I want you to know that this is all in Daniel in the Old Testament. In my vision at night, I looked up, and there before me was one like a son of man. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, coming with clouds of heaven. If we were to go to Hebrews 11 and talk about the Faith Hall of Fame, they are called a great cloud of witnesses. So what ends up happening is court is in session, and I want you to see on one side is the prosecution, and that's Satan, the accuser of the brethren on one side. And on the other side is the defense, and it is all the Old Testament saints, and someone stands up with them, and it is the Son of Man. It is Jesus Christ on the defense side. And what ends up happening when that happens, as it says, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not ever be destroyed. Let's get to verse 21, and it says this: as I watched, this horn was waging war against the holy people, that is Satan, and defeating them until the Ancient of Days came, that is God, and pronounced judgment in favor of holy people of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. My friends, what ended up happening that day is God stood on the throne. God stood in judgment. He looked at Satan, at the prosecution, the accuser of the brethren. He looked at the Old Testament saints, and he looked at the beaten, battered body of Christ Jesus, who had just took the weight of sin upon the world, and he threw down the gavel and he said, that's it. Saints win. Jesus wins. It is him. Satan, you are defeated. You will not be defeated. Remember what I told you in Genesis 3, that one will come and you will strike his heel, but he will trample on you and he will step on your head. The saints win. And so friends, I want you to see right now that the way that the authority was given is because of Christ Jesus. The authority that we can sit under is no longer the authority that is sin that will lead to death, but instead is the authority that we were supposed to have in Christ Jesus. We can sit under the authority and perfect relationship with the Father. And so what I want you to see today, that this is Easter. This is what we celebrate every day. It's Easter. It's the resurrection. So what happened on that day is this trial that happens. And so Jesus goes and he ascends to the Father, and he is the eternal redemption, the eternal sacrifice for each and every one of us. And he makes us right with God, and he comes down to earth for 40 days before he ascends. And we see Matthew 28 when he sends the disciples out on the Great Commission. So what I want you to know today is that when life is uncertain, God is still not. He's still got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. And today I want you to know, no matter wherever you are, the only way that Satan has authority over your life and sin has authority over your life is if you give it to him. But you see, today there's another option. There's a better way. The better way is Christ Jesus. And I want you to see that the authority that Satan makes you live under, the authority that is sin, leads to hopelessness, helplessness, and death. But the authority that is found in Christ Jesus leads to a hope that transcends all understanding and a peace that transcends all understanding. It leads to life and life eternal. It leads to security no matter what you're walking through, no matter what you're going through in the storm. And so today I just want to ask you, who's got authority over your life? Now, maybe you say, well, my authority over my life isn't sin. Authority over my life is my job. Authority over my life is my address. Authority over my life is my checkbook. Authority over my life is my cars. Authority over my life is my family. Whatever that looks like, I don't know. But if it's not Christ Jesus, I want to tell you, it is leading you to death. But today, you can make a choice of whose authority you're going to surrender under. Are you going to stay in the authority of Satan that will lead to only death? Or will you sit under the authority that is Christ that will lead to life? Colossians 2, verse 13 through 15 says it so well. When you and me, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, that courtroom we just talked about, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. He, and having disarmed the powers and what? Authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. My friends, today you are offered an opportunity to go right or go left. Will you continue to sit under the authority that is Satan that will lead to death? Or will you receive the authority that is Christ that will lead to life? I can't make the choice for you, but my friend, you can. And if today you would like to say that you would like to give your life to Christ and submit your life to Him and receive this free gift of salvation that He died to give us and experience the peace that He came to bring us, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I want to help you with this prayer because someone helped me with it. But I want you to know it's not the words of this prayer. It's the faith of this prayer that Jesus is who He says He is. And we pray as a family together for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ for the first time. So I'm going to ask everyone to pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from You. I believe You came, lived the life I couldn't live, die the death I deserve for my sin on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. I surrender my authority to You. Teach me to follow You step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And with every head bowed and with every eye closed, if you can say for the first time that you have surrendered your life and sit under the authority of Jesus by receiving this free gift of salvation today, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask you to respond. 1, 2, 3. On some of our social media, you're going to see a hand that's raised. Would you click that? If you're listening right now, if you're watching throughout the week or listening right now via podcast, please reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698. We want to celebrate this decision with you. If you have given your life to Christ right now, leave your name in the comments right now or leave your email address right now at this moment in the message. Leave that. We will have someone follow up with you. I want you to know that you are not walking through this season alone, that right now making that decision, submitting to the authority of Christ Jesus will put you in a place where you will be in peace no matter what storm that comes. Well, you will have life no matter what this world throws at you. And that you have an eternal hope that only He can bring. And so today, I'm so thankful that we got to answer the question whose authority we sit under and how we can be restored into a right relationship with the Father through Christ Jesus. Now let's talk about right now and let's sing with Vine Worship and enjoy the rest of the message.
God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. My God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory for the I know how this story ends.
Awesome is it that we can rest in the authority that Jesus died to give us. That when we rest and surrender our life to Him, we have received the John 10:10 full abundant life He died to give us. That in Him, guys, we can have peace no matter what storm we walk through, no matter what season we walk through. Because when we were sitting under the authority of sin, it only led us to hopelessness, helplessness, and death. But when we receive the free gift of salvation and live our lives in full surrender to His authority, we are led to everything that is secure because it is in Him. We are led to hope that only He can breathe. We are led to life that only can be found in Him. So I know that right now, if you are in Christ Jesus, I just want to remind you, no matter what you're walking through, He's still got the whole world in His hands. And so as we get ready to pray, I want to remind you to join us next week as we wrap up our series as we talk about in His hands. So let's pray and let's go have our best week yet. Dear Jesus, thank you so much that you let us live in a time such as this. Thank you that you came, lived that perfect life we couldn't live, died the death we deserve, paying the penalty for our sin on the cross, and loved us enough not to stay dead. You rose again on the third day, Jesus, so that we could have life and we could have it in the full. And you restored us to a right relationship with the Father. So right now, Jesus, I pray that we would live our life in full surrender to you, because we know that every step you call us to take, is a step to reveal your glory, and it's for our good to be all that you created us to be. That Jesus, in you, we can experience the peace that only you can bring. So Jesus, right now in this season, as so many hearts are being awakened to you, as you place people in our path to show you to, I pray that the hope that you bring would shine so bright inside of us that others can't help but see you. We love you, Jesus. We can't believe you let us get to be a part of building your church. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I hope that you join us next week as we continue our series and we wrap it up with In His Hands. Remember, I love you, Jesus loves you, and the best is still yet to come.